B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
On the line with us right now, Mr. Donovan McNabb. Donovan, I saw you were out in Ottawa. Are you back? Are you still in Ottawa?
No, I'm back. I'm back. Went to go visit family out in Edmonton. And it was a great time. Great time. Good seeing them being active, still playing professional sports and thriving at it. So it was a great time.
That's right. Your nephew, Darnell Nurse, was it?
Yes. My nephew Darnell played for the Edmonton Oilers. It was a tough loss for him Saturday, but Saturday. But they've been playing pretty well, and you know, hopefully this is a great year for him.
I was a little nervous, Donovan. I got to be honest. I saw you tweeting. I think it was yesterday. Some photos, and I'm like, oh my god, he's in Ottawa. We might not have him tomorrow. Sure enough, Eagles lose. Doug Peterson's play calling in question. Carson Wentz is throwing and quarterbacking in question. So we needed a little dose of Donovan today. Just overall, what was your takeaway from yesterday's loss to the Patriots?
I was disappointed. I was disappointed because, you know, I've seen a team that's obviously down a receiver, down a running back. Lane Johnson gets carted off. I just think for this football team, it's just when it rains, it pours. You know, once you see kind of a little slight of something positive, there's always two things negative that happens with this football team. And the second half, when they had a chance pretty much to seal the deal, they just weren't able to get it done. And, you know, I know everybody wants to kind of focus on that Aguilar opportunity at the end, but it should have never got to that point. And that's just kind of been the story of this whole season. You know, slow starts to coming out with spurts, and then defensively not being able to cover in the back end, not getting pressure when you need it, offensively not running the ball when we should. There are a lot of questions in this past year that you really begin to look at, you know, different people that are involved.
Yeah, in your mind, who are those people?
You know what? It all starts up top, and you know you have to look at obviously Howie and the personnel decisions of what he was able to do to solve. Say, yeah, when you bring in Jordan Howard, I thought that was a big move for him, but you didn't utilize his ability pretty much until like the last 3 weeks. Then you know you go to the receivers that they drafted, which I think we're going to start going forward by seeing a lot more of those young guys getting more time. You look at the secondary. Our secondary was already beat up, and you really didn't address that issue because you were waiting those guys to come back off of injury. You know, the offensive line situation, obviously we draft a tackle to be able to step in for Jason Peters when he decides to shut it down. But injuries have really plagued this team. And then obviously at the end of it all, you know, you obviously go look at the quarterback because, you know, you paid him $100 million. And then this year, I mean, we can talk about the drives, but it's just been some inconsistencies just all across the board, not only from Carson, but from all of them.
Speaking of Donovan McNabb, you referenced getting away from the run. First half, 10 rushes, 16 passes, a little over 38% of their plays were run plays. Second half, completely different. 75% of their game, and at most a 7-point game, 75% of their plays were pass plays. What can you do as a quarterback, as a player? Because we went through this a lot, obviously, with you and Big Red and Trey as well, to get after the game on the ground when especially it's not working through the air.
Yeah, but the difference between the two is we utilize the screen game as an extension of our run game. So we would run the screen maybe about six, seven times a game, which that was able to get our big guys out on air and let Westbrook kind of dodge and dabble into big yardage. That's what you see what the New England Patriots do with Burkhead. And then also you have to take into account, yeah, people would talk about we were more 60-40 with passes.
70-30.
We utilized the quick game.
We were probably about 70-30.
Well,
you know, we did.
But the thing about it is we utilized the quick game.
Yeah.
Our tight ends got involved with 6-yard completions. Our receivers got the 6 to 8-yard completions. That sets up the more to play action game where you can double move corners on the outside. One thing we have to look at, though, coming into this game, the New England Patriots will rank very high versus the pass, and we didn't run the football. Then you come out in the second half, and they made adjustments at halftime. You have to understand, Bill Belichick's going to make adjustments no matter what. And he made adjustments to stop us from running the football, and we moved right into their hands, and that's passing the football. So I just think it was we were outcoached in that particular game, which led to us losing.
I think also too, we don't, you know, back for if you try to do the parallels between the two, like we used a lot of sprint right as well, and you don't see that right. much out of this offense. And that short passing game is a good observation, because you don't see many three-step drops out of this unit.
No. And I'm glad you brought that up, Tariq Trey, too, because everything's out of shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's out of shotgun, and it seems like we're awaiting the big play, and instead of creating the big play. Like, when you're awaiting the big play, that means you're going to keep dialing up plays where it's 15, 20, 25 yards downfield. And at some point, their D-line is going to get to you. And now it's going to force Carson to try to make a remarkable play. But if you're able to get the ball out quickly, now that stalls the defensive line for forcing themselves quick upfield, because now they have to read and recover. And then now you're constantly moving the ball and moving the chains again, completions. That's something I don't see from the football team.
One of the things that's been brought into question is Carson's ability to read defenses. I looked at went back to a couple of his sacks and I watched it, and it looks like everything was focused. He never looked to the right side of the field. You know, he had four defenders to the left. He had three receivers to his left, and his eyes never looked to the right side of the field. They ran a rub route between Dallas and Jordan, but the other three receivers on the left side, he never looked to the other side of the field. Is that something that he's being trained to do, or is that just was his part of his mechanics?
I think it's more... I wouldn't say that he struggles reading the defense. I don't know. They're not running the exact kind of plays that we ran while we were playing. I know that Big Red as well as Doug has extended the offense a little bit. But what I'm seeing is I'm seeing him locking in on a receiver. It's not that he's going through his reads, but he tends to lock in too long on his receiver that he think is going to come free. And that now leads him to being late to other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think for any quarterback, you have to have a pre-snap read. You drop. And that's another thing. When you're in the shotgun and you're taking 3 to 5 steps in the shotgun, you're all of a sudden your eyes are already on one guy. Like, instead of you taking the ball from center, where now you drop back, you're going 5 steps, your first 2 steps, you can tell if that number one receiver is going to be free or not. And then now you go off of it on 3-4, and then you get to 5, you're already getting the ball out of your hands because you've already read what the defense is trying to do to you. So I just think for this football team, and I know they're trying to protect them because it's coming off of injury and all, they need to get back to getting under the center and utilizing the ISO game as well as the play-action game instead of so much being a shotgun.
Donovan, the defense obviously played well yesterday, and that's probably the positive that you're going to take out of it here in Philadelphia. But you've right. been in those type of games, playing a very good team or good record, and the offense just didn't go. Is there anything that you saw yesterday that can be positives taken out from the offense yesterday?
Well, I think they played hard. I think execution-wise, it was too inconsistent. I wouldn't put all the pressure on Carson, but I think obviously he can play better. He'll tell you that himself. But you have to be able to take pressure off of Carson by running the football. I know we can talk about he's a $100 million man and whatever it may be, and his draft class. You know, Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl, and Dak Prescott has playoff wins. You know, all of that can go into account. But at the end of the day, this is your franchise quarterback. You have to take pressure off of him. It's not taking anything away from his ability. It's just sometimes you got to help him. You have to help him be able to be successful. And I don't see that they're creating that. Now, I will say this. People will start talking about if Nick Foles was back there, we were very successful doing the same thing. And that's going to be the talk pretty much all through his career until he shows that he can win those big games. And it's unfortunate. It's so unfortunate for him. Because he's going to have to relive that. I mean, there's a statue outside the stadium for Nick Foles. So I just think for this football team, at some point you got to form an identity of who you are. And you look across the league and teams have already identified who they are as a football team. And that's kind of what we have to do. And let me add this too. Can we really say that the defense played well? Or do we really say that New England's offense wasn't that good yesterday?
I think a little bit of both. I think, you know, the offense, of course, their offense isn't the same as what you, as you're used to seeing. But I think also that our defensive front, we kept Brady, you know, uncomfortable in that game, you know, where he was starting to rush some throws. You know, of course, Jalen Mills, he's not your bog hawk, somebody that's going to get a lot of interceptions, but he has a little bit of energy to that secondary.
I will agree. I do think Mills coming back has changed a little bit of a flow for that defense, that secondary. But I just think for this football team, it's just, if defense are playing well and making plays and the offense doesn't, then if the offense is making plays, the defense kind of gets slighted by so many, many things. I mean, if it's pass rush, if it's not catching an interception, if it's getting a hand on the ball or making a tackle, I just think for this football team, the window's closing and time is kind of dwindling. So they better figure it out at some point, because the Dallas Cowboys schedule going forward, is kind of favorable for them. And we have to figure out a way to at least get something going. Either if it's against like the Redskins, the Giants, the Dolphins, something. Cause the Dolphins are actually playing hard as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't lose that game.
Speaking with Donovan McNabb, and I know Donovan all year long, I know that we've called into question Carson Wentz a couple of different times. Not too crazy. He certainly hasn't been the biggest problem for the Eagles. And yesterday, I thought my two biggest concerns, my two biggest problems were Doug Peterson's play calling and then Carson Wentz inaccurate, holding on to the ball too long and all that. Do you see a guy in Carson Wentz that this year is struggling to read the defense in front of him?
I wouldn't say that. That's kind of what Trey kind of went to. I wouldn't say that. I think, you know, because it's funny, nobody ever talked about him reading defenses before.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody always talked about how smart he was, how this offense is explosive. He get the ball downfield.
Oh, Donovan,
young quarterback in the game.
They were telling us how he never got a B on a test after the draft. Like, that's how brilliant this guy is, right? But this year, especially
photogenic memory.
Yeah, and this year, watching the game, especially last night, where you're seeing him hold the ball too long, you start to question whether or not he is understanding what defenses are doing to him.
Hey, I guess if you're a Harvard alum, that don't mean you can play football, huh?
I also think that the line is not doing a good job protecting them, though, man. I mean, they cannot pick up. They struggle with games. You know, any corner blitzes they get destroyed on. I mean, it's just not. They don't switch things off good at all. I mean, you know, the double A gap blitz. You knew having young running backs in there that they were going to blitz you, and they don't handle it well at all.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, Trey, that's just like me talking about Carson. You talk about the offensive line, they're going to talk about you on the radio.
It's okay. It's all right.
No, but I'll say this, though. I mean, everything just looks, there's no flow. Like, you know, obviously this wasn't an issue when they won the Super Bowl. We were talking about glorifying their offensive line. And then, you know, we kind of glorified Doug and his play calling. Everything in that particular series, and then even when they had a chance to go back to the NFC Championship the next year, what's changed? What's changed from just, what, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago to where we are now? And, I mean, that's something that we really need to look into, because the offensive line pretty much is still the same. And so, you know, you got a different quarterback in there. Is it Doug's play calling? Is it his trust is different with Nick than it is now with Carson? There's a lot that has to go into it. Or let's take this into account. Was Frank Wright that much of an X factor that really helped Doug, also Nick and Carson? Is he kind of the missing piece here? Because what they're doing in Indianapolis almost is the same thing that what we've seen when the Eagles were on their run.
Yeah. One other question I got for you, man. Have you ever seen a team come out of the bye week worse off than when they went in? You know what I'm saying? Like, health-wise. I mean, they came out of bye week with, what, 3-4 injuries?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, did they practice or did they have the time to get away from football?
They got away from football.
You know, if you just completely just got away from football, then, I mean, what did you do to take care of your body? I just, it's really weird. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because no one's going to talk about that. But you don't really come back off the bye week and all of a sudden you're suffering more injuries than you did going in.
Right. Yeah. Speaking with Donovan McNabb, Donovan, last thing I want to ask you about is the Colin Kaepernick I mean, the sideshow, more or less, just because the NFL...
Yeah, it was a sideshow.
Okay, yeah. What did you make of it, and also his decision to not do it on the NFL's terms, but his own?
Well, I mean, for one, I thought it was garbage, because how do you set a workout up the day before everybody's playing?
Right.
That, number one, was an X for me. Number two, how did you pick the Atlanta Falcons indoor facility out of all places?
Uh-huh.
That was number two. And then three, the NFL was running it all. Talking about, we'll control the video, we'll control who comes and watches. Like, if you're going to, first of all, if my agent is setting up a workout for me for teams, we need to know what teams are coming. We're picking the location. And we're pretty much having it either on Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not going to have this on Saturday where everybody's getting ready for football games on Sunday. Like, that makes no sense. And then you're talking about, you know, 24 teams are coming. What 24 teams are coming? Only about a handful of them need quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a reason Colin Kaepernick wasn't in the league in the first place, because the NFL wouldn't allow.
Donovan, I think we lost you there for a second. You still there?
Backlash from the media.
No, I'm sorry, Donovan. We lost you for a second. You said Colin Kaepernick wasn't in the league in the first place. Take it from there.
Yeah, he wasn't in the league because the NFL wouldn't allow him to get back in the league, because his owners didn't want to get the backlash from the media of bringing him in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, as what we're looking at for Colin Kaepernick, yeah, my representation would have made sure that we had full control of everything that was going on. The location, who's showing up, what time we're doing it. And so we're going to obviously control what we're doing to showcase our talent. So I understand what he did and how it went about. And it looks bad now because everybody's like, well, he did it an hour away from the facility. And, you know, some teams weren't going to show up. Them teams that were going in, only eight teams were coming anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's why days before, they were saying they weren't going to put out the teams that were flying in to come see them. They weren't ever going to mention that publicly.
Right.
Yeah, the NFL tried to control everything. And it really made them look bad. But now it's trying to come on Colin Kaepernick for people to say, well, he never really wanted to play anyway.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how I feel after he's in a situation it's a bad term, but beggars can't be choosers, and he's trying to get back in the NFL. Everybody knows the NFL tried to screw him over with this in terms of how they orchestrated the workout. Afterwards, I think he just had to take the workout they gave him as opposed to make his own.
Well, it's easy to say that, but when you're pretty much getting used like you're a CNI dog, hey, you're going to go here, you're going to go there, you're going to do what we say. How comfortable is that?
It can't be. I understand.
That's what I'm saying. So as a player, when I'm trying to show that I still can play the game, and then you're like, I want you to come here. We're going to have these two teams come and watch. Like, two teams?
Mm-hmm.
Like, eight teams showed up. The Eagles were supposedly there.
They were
there. The Redskins were there. Like, these are teams, like, do they need quarterbacks? Not necessarily. But then you got player personnel people that showing up there. Half of the people don't even know.
Yeah.
That's like me and Trey going there and putting an Eagles polo shirt on, going to watch the workout. We don't have no say on that.
Donovan, I'm up against it, but you would have been presenting beautifully, he said. But Donovan, we're up against it, but I appreciate you coming on with us. As per usual, man, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, look forward to it, guys. Everybody relax. We got another game this week.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.